You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Andrew Mount with you to look ahead to the best of Tuesday's racing. Only Sutherland Taunton left, unfortunately, on Tuesday. We've lost Lingfields, Watlong track there, the latest track to fall foul of the weather. But fingers crossed, Sutherland Taunton going ahead without any issues, and we've got four races to look at there shortly. We're also going to look back at the rest of the weekend's action in the Monday jury, and there's plenty to go at, isn't there, Andrew?
Yeah, thank goodness Cheltenham survived an inspection, otherwise we wouldn't have a lot to talk about.
No, that is true. It was it was a bit hairy on Saturday morning, wasn't it? We were just waiting.
Yes, but that's right.
Thankfully, all was okay, and we had a fantastic day's racing that we're going to look back at. Now, the first question then in the Monday jury, which we have shamelessly stolen from the Racing Post, is about Smad Place. Should he go for the Gold Cup or the Ryanair?
Definitely the Gold Cup.
Okay.
He has the stamina to win a Hennessy over 3.25 miles, and he wins over a trip beyond 3 miles, one on Saturday, so it's the obvious call. And okay. I think the reason for the recent improvement is the switch to front-running tactics.
Mm.
And he was very disappointing in the King George when he didn't lead, and then reverting to forcing tactics on Saturday, he was impressive. I know Jack Adam fell, but he still showed a good attitude to hold off the runner-up.
That is the interesting thing, isn't it? Because often at Kempton you see front runners enjoying themselves out in front, and it just seemed perfect for Smad Place.
Absolutely.
Especially in hindsight, I know it's very easy to go.
Especially having won there on his reappearance over 2.5 miles, and you thought, when pretty much making most of the running, I think he took it up at the fourth that day. So you thought, yeah, straight into the front, put them to the sword, good round of jumping, steal a length at every other fence, and off you go.
We're recording this at 2:45 on Monday afternoon. Smad Place, as we speak, is 10-1 for the Gold Cup. We are non-runner money back on the race. He seems a very, very solid contender.
Yes, absolutely.
There are some around him, the likes of Road to Riches, No More Heroes, maybe even Q Card, who's a bit shorter at 13-2, who may be all or nothing. You know, on their day, they are fantastic, but when they have an off day, they're pretty off. Smad
right.
Place, from the front, seems a pretty solid each way bet at 10-1.
Well, I think people have still got on the back of their minds, hence the 10-1, is that he was only, I think, 8th in the race last year, beaten about 27 lengths. But rereading Alan King's quotes from last season, he basically said he was never right. They made a mistake by sending him to the Hennessy without a prep run, and he never recovered from a hard race there when not 100% fit. So he's had a different preparation this time around. I think you can draw a line through his form last season. And, if you judge him on his last three runs, then 10-1 is a generous price. Particularly in light of, Jack Adam is half those odds and goes into the race on the back of a fall. And
exactly.
That's hardly ideal.
Yeah. The next question is, what's your view on the Gold Cup following the weekend action? I'll just run you through the whole betting. Votaur is now the 4-1 market leader with us. 9-2, Don Cossack. 5 for Jack Adam. 6 is Don Polly. 13-2, Q Card. 10s for No More Heroes and Smad Place. 12-1, Road to Riches. And 25s or bigger the rest. What wins it?
Good question. Votaur is a worthy favourite after his sort of narrow second in the King George. But, he might be perhaps, more of a sort of dead three-miler, a flashier horse, a Haydock Kempton flat track horse, a bit like Silviniaco Conti, who went close in a couple of Gold Cups, but, always sort of tended to get fined out by the hill and the extra couple of furlongs. And I think that could possibly be the case with Votaur, although I think he's the best horse in the race. My current leading choice is Don Polly.
Okay.
He's been to the festival twice before. Won the RSA Chase last year by 6 lengths from Southfield Royale when 13-8 favourite. Won the Martin Pipe Conditional Jockeys Handicap Hurdle the year before. He's won 5 of his last 6 starts, and although he's not been winning by far, he's been showing a really great attitude, just grinding it out under pressure and getting up to score narrowly. And I think you see that in the Gold Cup a lot in recent years, where something will be in sort of fourth or fifth coming to the last, and then will stay on under pressure and sort of snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. So yeah. You know, we've had a few races like that. So I think we'll see the same thing this year, and hopefully that's Don Polly who does it.
Okay, so Don Polly, the selection in the Gold Cup. The third question in the Monday jury is: can anything beat Thistlecrack in the World Hurdle? Even money Thistlecrack following his win in the Cleve Hurdle, very impressive that day. And when you look at the other horses that are in the betting to line up against him, whether they turn up or not is another question. Thistlecrack is even money. Fours then for Annie Power and Vroom Vroom Mag. There'll only be one of those turning up. Alpha Does Obo, sevens along with Colhard, and nines for Nickel Canyon, 12s more of that, and 14s or bigger the rest. All of a sudden, I thought this race had a fairly open look to it, even before the Cleve Hurdle, I'd say. But I cannot get that performance from Thistlecrack out of my mind, despite the fact that he didn't really beat a great deal in terms of hurdlers this year.
No, that's right. I mean, he was
so impressive.
He just seems to have taken off in the last 12 months or so. I mean, since stepped up beyond to 3 miles or further, he's won four, finished second by half a length in a grade one Punchestown when he was hampered. Mm. And he just seems to be improving hand over fist, and that was hugely impressive, particularly because in the previous races up to the Cleve, everything had been, you know, sort of, you know, off the bridle and... you know, Yamworth aside, and then all of a sudden there he was. He just joined in the race, and you know, what was the winning distance in the end? Was it
12? I think
12. Mm. Yeah, could have been at least double that. I don't think he's reliant on soft or heavy going.
That's probably the key thing that a few people have said in the fallout from that race, that could be the key. That could be, and that's why they wouldn't want to back him at even money. It is a short price, isn't it?
Prior to Saturday, people were saying, well, I think myself included, that I wouldn't want to back him at 9-4 because he's not done it at Cheltenham before. He ran in the Albert Bartlett, although he was a big priced outsider, you know, he was well beaten. So now, you know, we've got over the Cheltenham stat.
Mm. But he's certainly progressing, isn't he?
And again, you know, it's not impossible. You get soft going at Cheltenham. It's, you know, certainly had it for Gold Cup Day last year, I believe, and you know, they always water well to make sure it's at least good to soft for the opening day. And I can see him winning comfortably and doing a big bucks, really, and going off odds on and winning accordingly.
Another horse that is likely to appreciate softer ground is Vroom Vroom Mag. That looks the most likely of Rich Ritchie's two to go for the race, given that Annie Power still hasn't had a prep run. Would you give Vroom Vroom Mag any chance? I mean, she
impressed at Ascot.
She did, yeah.
Travelled beautifully. But I think, you know, when you look at the quality of the races she's been winning against the quality of the races Thistlecrack's been in, then it all points to Thistlecrack.
Okay.
I think the danger would be if the ground came up good and Cole Harden, last year's winner.
He'd need to bounce back, though, wouldn't he?
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, the theory is, certainly from his trainer, that you know, the reason for his below par performances recently have been soft ground.
Okay. Next question: how impressed were you with the wins of Yanworth and Barters Hill? One travelled beautifully through his race and extended away. The other, a very different story, but he's tough. Is Barters Hill? He's game. And though he didn't really show much sort of X factor at Doncaster, there still could be that sort of unlock.
Well, so I'm a great admirer of Barters Hill, and that win made me love him more.
Okay.
I think he started 7-4 on, mm-hmm. and he won by 3/4 of a length from a big priced outsider. You know, looking in all sorts of trouble down the straight, didn't jump particularly well, but he showed such a game attitude that you think, you know, it's not impossible that he'll win for the eighth time in succession when he lines up in the Albert Bartlett, if indeed that's his choice of festival race.
And Yanworth?
Yanworth was hugely impressive. Again, it was... You know, he looked like he joined in at the halfway stage, and slaughtered them.
Mm.
You know, Shantou Village was my pick in that race on Saturday, and I thought he was coming there, you know, up the rail, you know, to take it up, but you know, was soon put in his place. So I think Yanworth has to, you know, is likely to prove hard to beat in the Neptune, and Barters Hill would have a good each way chance in the. Albert Bartlett going for the 3 mile race.
Mm, certainly, Yanworth considered by many now to be a potential banker for the meeting as well.
Or a British banker.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. Give us a horse you fancy then at Cheltenham at a decent price. It's a bit hard to say now because the big price winners tend to be in the handicaps, don't they?
And that's right.
You can't really speculate on those now, but is there one that stands out?
There's one called Southfield Royale, which was second in the Quarto Star Novices Chase, the grade one at Kempton on Boxing Day behind T for Two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, T for Two is very difficult to beat on, impossible to beat so far on right-handed tracks, won 7 from 7 that way round. and whereas Southfield Royal seems better left-handed. Mm-hmm. And he only went down by four lengths in that Grade 1 contest, jumped slightly out to his left on occasions, and I think the four times he's gone left-handed over obstacles, three wins and a half-length second, and that came on his seasonal debut this term. Now, after his second at Kempton, the trainer said that his long-term target was the Aintree Festival. Mm-hmm. But I think they might be tempted by Cheltenham, you know, particularly if the race cut up and it looked like being good or good to soft ground at worst.
Okay.
So, Southfield Royal, I believe, is 25-1 for the RSA Chase at the moment.
Wow. Very, very big price for Southfield Royal in the RSA. Let's just check the price with us. Southfield Royal... 33-1.
33, even better. Yeah. That's the value you get with betting with William Hill.
Exactly. Well done, Andrew.
Don't get paid extra for that.
Lovely and corporate. The final question on this week's Monday Jury is, National Pride aside, should Britain be 10-11 favourites over Ireland for the Betbright Cup? Of course, that is who wins the most races at the festival, the British or the Irish. Personally, given that we're already giving Ireland, in all likelihood, four wins, maybe five in Willie Mullins' big horses on the first day and the second day. Surely that head start should mean that Ireland should be favourites.
Yeah, that's a good point, because there's obviously going to be betting after day one.
Exactly.
So if you think Mullins is going to have a few winners on day one, you should probably wait to back the Brits if you fancy them on day two. But I guess, yeah, the numbers game is what swings it, really. And numerically, the UK are going to have a lot more runners than Ireland, so... And you know, like you say, the handicaps are pretty competitive, and that's where the Brits are likely to get their winners.
Yeah, certainly something to keep an eye on.
Although with 28 runners, 28 races this year, that the tie is not out of the question.
It's a possibility.
It was very close last year. I think it came down to the last race. So 6-1 the tie or thereabouts.
Okay. No betting on sites with us just yet, but there will be closer to the start of the festival. Certainly something to keep an eye on in the coming weeks. Right, we'll move on to Tuesday's racing then. I said we're going to look at two races at Southall and two at Taunton. We're going to start at Southall with the 2 o'clock. It's a handicap over a mile and 6 furlongs. 10 runners down to go to post for this one, Andrew. It's a fairly competitive affair.
It is indeed. My first angle into races on the round course at Southall, which is 6 furlongs or further, is to sort of rule out the horse in stall one. Particularly in handicaps. Even over long trips, it can be a disadvantage to be drawn on the inside rail where the 5% tends to be deeper. And over a mile, 6 to 2 miles in fields of 8 or more runners, stall one is 0 from 33 since the start of 2012. So that would make life difficult for Edgar, the only last time out winner in this field, who's likely to be near the head of the betting on the strength of that last time out win. The strong pace is very likely in this race as well, and that could suit handicap newcomer K-Sara. This one is placed in a couple of mile and a half maidens here on last two starts, travelling smoothly on each occasion. And I thought with a strong pace to chase, step up in trip, could be the one to stay on best of all and record a first win on handicap debut.
Okay, K-Sara the pick then in Suddle's 2 o'clock. Next up is the 2:30 from Southall, a handicap over 6 furlongs. 11 runners going to post here, and a little bit more recent winning form in this one, Andrew.
Yes, indeed. I mean, again, that we've had, Fujin won here 12 days ago, and all the way to success after being heavily back from an early 2-1 into 11-8 on, won by 3 lengths. He's gone up £8 for that. But is now 2 from 2 over course and distance, and there should be more to come. Adam Kirby's a good booking, and I can see this one making all.
Okay, main dangers?
One I don't like, again, because of the draw stats, is number one Jacob's Pillow. This one is drawn in stall one, and if we go back to the start of 2010, stall one is just 3 from 73 in 6 furlong handicaps of 11 or more runners here. So that will make life difficult for that one. Recorded a good time when winning a seller for Michael Appleby last time and making debut for Rebecca Basterman today. But at a likely bigger price, number 6 Indian Affair could offer some each-way value. This one's sire is Sleeping Indian, who has a good record on the 5% at Southall. But surprisingly, this one has only raced here once. That was, I think, back in 2014 when finishing second over course and distance. So with Franny Norton up and with Milton Bradley's horses running pretty well this winter, then Indian Affair could be the each-way value. But Fujin would be my number one pick.
Okay, Fuji in the selection in Suddles 2:30. We'll move to Taunton next for the 3:45. It's a handicap hurdle over the extended 2-mile trip. 7 runners down to go to post. And a few of these are arriving not in the best form, Andrew, but they do have some pretty solid backlash to their name.
Yeah, that's right. And one who would sort of qualify on that point for me as well is number 4, Master Red, trained by David Pipe. Now, I've been following the Paul and Claire Rooney-owned ex-Donald McCain horses this season, and since the beginning of October, had you backed them all on their first start for their new trainers, you made a profit of about £27 to a £1 stake. And Master Red is the latest qualifier. He's not been seen for 444 days since falling at Wetherby on his reappearance in the 2014-15 season. He was travelling quite well at the time, in about second place when falling 4 out. And on first run for David Pipe, I think he's going to be keen to impress the new owners. And I can see Master Red running a big race.
Okay, Master Red the pick. Anything to follow in home?
No, not particularly. I was just going to go straight with Master Red. I mean, After Hours, last time out winner for Henry Oliver is probably going to be the main danger.
Okay, but you're happy with Master Red?
Absolutely.
As the selection. But
one thing to mention there as well is that on the talk of sort of track bias, there's been a bit of a bias at Taunton recently with the hurdles races often going to those who race very wide and challenge towards the stand side in the straight. So there was a race there on Saturday the 23rd of January where the first three took the wide route throughout, and whereas the favourite who was stuck to the inside saving ground was only fourth. So it'll be interesting to see which jockeys pick up on that.
Yeah, certainly something to note at Taunton on Tuesday. The final race we're going to look at is Taunton's 4:15, a handicap chase over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. Just the 6 going to post for this one, but that doesn't really make it much easier, Andrew. It's fairly competitive for the amount of runners that there are.
Yeah, that's right. The first one I'm drawn to is last time out course and distance winner, number 1, Witchwood's Brook. He's gone up £5 for that, but he was ridden by Adam Wedge that day, who didn't claim, and now has capable Connor Ring on board, who takes £5 off, so he's effectively running off the same mark. And loves heavy grounds and is obviously going to go well again, but I'd imagine he'd be fairly near the head of the market, if not clear favourite. So in search of value, I was going to go with number 2, Nigel Twiston Davis's Tour des Champs. Now, this one was pulled up in the Welsh National last time behind Mountainous, and but won the time before that on reappearance after a break of about 18 months at Chepstow. And also ran behind Mountainous in the 2013 Welsh National, and then came out next, pulling up again in that race, but coming out next time to finish 3rd in a Grade 3. And I think the class of the race is the key to this one. He's only had 8 runs over fences below pattern level, and he's won 4 of those. And, I think people will perhaps read too much into that non-completion last time out, but down in grade, I think he could be the one.
Okay, and certainly that Welsh National, you can almost draw a line through a lot of them because it was testing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, again, it's like sort of back to Cheltenham on Saturday. I think if anything sort of underperformed there, you'd be inclined to forgive it.
And we do have heavy ground at Taunton, but there's heavy ground, and there was that ground for the Welsh National.
Yeah,
so certainly not one to discount Tour de Champs in the 4:15. Great stuff, Andrew. Great talking to you. Best luck with your selections on Tuesday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.